Luke chapter 2, the words of verse 44. We read there, "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance." It was on a Sabbath day similar to this one that a young man of 16 years of age set out from his home to walk to his usual place of worship. But because of the heavy snowfall that morning, he was unable to reach his usual place of worship and instead turned into an old Methodist church. There were very few there in that meeting place that morning. Because of the heavy snowfall, even the preacher did not turn up. And so it was left to one of the deacons, one of the office bearers of that church, to preach that morning. He wasn't a skilled man as far as preaching was concerned, but he knew the Lord and he knew the Word. And that morning he chose for his text Isaiah 45 and verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and know that I am God." He preached that morning, and in the course of his message, he saw this young man who had just entered the meeting place, a stranger who hadn't usually come to that place to worship. And he saw that the young man looked most miserable, someone perhaps under conviction of sin. In the course of this message, the office bearer in that Methodist church fixed his gaze upon the young man. He said, "Young man, you look most miserable. You'll be miserable in life, and you will be miserable in death. Look unto me, and be ye saved." And that young man, for the first time in his life, even though he had come from a Christian home and a Christian background, for the first time in his life, he realized that salvation was not in doing. Salvation was not in anything that he could do other than look to Jesus Christ by faith. And he realized that morning that if he looked at Jesus Christ by faith, as Isaiah the prophet said, then he would be saved. And that morning that 16-year-old boy looked by faith and was wonderfully and gloriously saved. That was one Sabbath morning. It was the 6th of January, 1850. And the young man was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. That morning he looked and was saved. And every one of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior has done exactly what Spurgeon did that morning. For when we receive Christ as Savior, we also looked by faith and we received Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, dear child of God, we must continue to look we must continue to look to the Lord Jesus. Paul the Apostle wrote in his epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul was addressing God's people. And there he was addressing them and exhorting them that they must continue to look to the Lord Jesus. They must continue to have the Lord Jesus as the focus of their attention. And as believers, they must look to Christ. But you know, dear child of God, there are those occasions when we can lose sight of Christ. We look to Him by faith and salvation. We look to Him and focus upon Him in our Christian life. But there are those times when we can lose sight of Christ, just as Mary and Joseph did. They lost sight of the Lord Jesus. And oh, how they sorrowed over having lost sight of Christ. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, they thought He was there. They had taken their eyes off Him. And they thought He was in the company, but He wasn't there at all. They had lost sight of Christ. As was said in recent days, every parent knows what it's like to suddenly realize that your little child is not with you. He's not in the company. You supposed He was there and you turned around and He wasn't there at all. And for those few moments we'd lost sight of our children or our child. Supposing Him to have been in the company, and then we've gone in search of that child. We can lose sight of Christ. Let us never lose sight of the Lord Jesus. And here, as we look at these words of our text, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. What I see here, first of all, in their losing sight of Christ, is a great mystery. There's a great mystery here. For me, the great mystery surrounding this incident is how did Mary and Joseph possibly lose sight of the Lord Jesus, of all people? They could easily, without a thought, have lost sight of their kinsfolk and their acquaintances, the other members of the family circle, but no, they lost sight of the Lord Jesus. Of all people in their company, they lost sight of Christ. And this is a great mystery. They lost sight of the Lord Jesus, even though He was their precious Son. How could they possibly take their eyes off the Lord Jesus, their precious Son? If they did, how can we take our eyes off our precious Savior? And yet sometimes we do. They took our eyes off their precious Son, and this is a mystery, especially when we consider the loveliness of His person. When they looked upon the child Jesus, what did they see? Well, verse 40 tells us. They saw a child that grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In fact, if you look at verse 40 and then look at verse 52, you will discover that there are seven things said about the Lord Jesus. There are four things mentioned in verse 40 and three things mentioned in verse 53. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Seven things are said here about the Lord Jesus in describing the Savior. Seven, the number of perfection. And whenever you look at the Lord Jesus, you have the one who is perfect in his person. And whenever Mary and Joseph looked upon the Lord Jesus, what did they see? They saw a perfect child. Now I know there are some mothers and fathers today in this world, and that's what they think of their children. They think that little Johnny is perfect. Never will do any wrong. And they don't know their children if they say that. Even as we've been considering Psalm 51, David said, I was born in sin. I was born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But the Lord Jesus, of course, was different. The Lord Jesus was that perfect child. And yet, this child who was so precious and perfect in his person, we find that Mary and Joseph took their eyes off him. They lost sight of this precious son. They lost sight of him. It reminds me of the bride in the Song of Solomon. The bride in the Song of Solomon, we could say, lost sight of her beloved. She had gone to her bedchamber when suddenly she heard a knock at the door. And she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. But she did not bestir herself. And she only moved from her place of slumber and sleep when she saw the hand of her beloved reach in and unlatch the door. It was then that she rose up. It was then that she went to the door. But by the time she got to the door, her beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And she had lost sight of her Savior. She had lost sight of her beloved. And she went out into the streets and she saw the daughters of Jerusalem. And she said to them, if you see him, tell him that I love him. And then they said to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? And then she described him. And in that fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, with one of the most wonderful Old Testament descriptions of Christ, and she finished with these words. She said, yea, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. And yet she had lost sight of him. She lost sight of the one who is altogether lovely. And here, child of God, how can we lose sight of Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely, the one who is the lily of the valleys, the one who is the rose of Sharon, the one who is the fairest of 10,000, the one who is altogether lovely in His holiness, in His justice, in His goodness, in His truth. Oh, what beauty there is in our wonderful Lord. Oh, dear child of God, let us never take our eyes off Christ. He is the altogether lovely one. Rutherford knew that. Rutherford said, when I looked to Jesus Christ, I could look my eyes away. And based on His words, Anne Ross, cousin, wrote the following. The bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hands, for the Lamb is all the glory. In Emmanuel's land. Just reading about Rutherford this past week. And those were Rutherford's dying words. The last words he spoke. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. As he was about to cross over Jordan and go into the presence of the King, he could see the glory of Christ. Saw the one who was altogether lovely. Let us not take our eyes off Him. There's much to look at when we look to Christ. Not only did they take their eyes of the person, the precious Son that they had, and took their eyes of the one who is lovely in His person, but they took their eyes of the one who had lived in their presence. Is this not a mystery indeed? They had enjoyed the sweet presence of the Christ child for 12 years, and yet still they lost sight of Him. No believer, there is a solemn warning here. It doesn't matter how long we have been in the pilgrim pathway. It doesn't matter how long we have been amongst the people of God and journeyed on towards heaven. We can have been in that pilgrim pathway 20, 30, 40 years. We can still lose sight of Christ. Mary and Joseph lost sight of Christ even though He had been in their presence for 12 years. We can abide in the Lord's presence. We can abide in His presence today and tomorrow lose sight of Him. Referring again to the bride in the Song of Solomon. The previous chapter, chapter 4, ends with the bride being in the garden with her beloved in fellowship. And then the chapter 5 begins with the bride losing sight of her beloved. It can happen so quickly and so suddenly. We can become distracted. And when we become distracted, we take our eyes off Christ. Evidently, Mary and Joseph had been distracted. They supposing Him to have been in the company. They didn't look for Him. And when they did look for Him, He wasn't there. It happened so quickly. Can happen that way for each one of us. That's why we sang those words tonight, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth, those things that tend to distract us, those things will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. So it was with Mary and Joseph. They took their eyes off Christ, even though they loved Him as parents. Probably at that time, there were none who loved Jesus Christ as much as Mary and Joseph did. He was in their home in Nazareth for 12 years. They couldn't help but love one who, waxed strong and spirit, was filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. They couldn't help but love such a gracious child, such a lovely child. They loved him dearly as parents. They would have loved him, I would believe, as no other child was loved. And yet, they took their eyes off Him. They'd been distracted. They took their eyes off Him. They took their eyes off the one that they loved more than any other. You know, believer, we can all say tonight, yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. And yet at the same time, come distracted and take our eyes off Christ. Oh, may we never lose sight of Jesus. Mary and Joseph lost sight of the Lord Jesus in spite of the fact that He was their precious Son. They lost sight of Jesus in spite of the fact they were in the place of service. Where had they been? They'd been to the house of God. In verse 39, we read, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. According to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. They had gone up to the house of God. They had performed all their duties according to the law of the Lord. And yet, they had lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had lost sight of Him just a short distance from the house of God. Does that not show us how easy it is for us to take our eyes off the Savior? Has this not already been our experience? Have there not been those times in our life when we have taken our eyes off Christ? Even though we have been fulfilling our duties according to the law of God, our duties as Christians in the service of God, and yet we have lost sight of Him. Here it happened to Mary and Joseph. No one could criticize them for what they were doing. We can go to the house of God and still lose sight of Christ. That's why we often say that our prayer should be, when we go up to the house of God and perform our duty and engage in the worship of the Lord, our prayer should always be, Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Him. And when we go to the house of God and the book is opened, if we're looking to see Christ, we will see Him. And so there they were in the place of service. And when we go up to the house of God, we're in the place of service. We ought to say with the hymn writer, "Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Give me a sight, O Savior." And yet, Mary and Joseph lost sight of Christ. And then we have here the problem of supposition. Verse 44, again, they supposing him to have been in the company. Mary and Joseph supposed the Lord Jesus was in their company, even though they had not seen his face for a full day. They had gone a whole day and not looked into the face of their child, not looked into the face of that precious child. That perfect child, they hadn't seen the face of Jesus Christ for a day. Terrible, isn't it? And yet, you know, dear child of God, we can go through a day without looking into the face of Christ through prayer. We need to see the face of the Savior. They had gone the full day, not seen the face of Christ, and yet they thought Christ was there all the time. You could say that about Samson. Samson supposed, Samson thought, he still had the strength of the Lord. After he had lain in the lap of Bathsheba, or of Delilah, and a strength had disappeared. And whenever Delilah said, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee," Samson said, "I will rise up and shake myself as I have done at other times," but he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. You see, it had been so long from Samson had looked into the face of his God, and he just supposed the Lord was still with him. We can make the same mistake. We can suppose the Lord is with us. We need to look into the face of Christ. We need to look into His face every day. We need to look onto Christ. Looking onto Jesus. As we run the race, we need to look onto Jesus. Not only do we have the mystery, we also have the meeting. At the end of the first day's journey, Mary and Joseph discovered the Lord was not with them. And so we read in verse 44, "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him." They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. There you have their seeking of Christ. They had to seek for him. As far as Mary and Joseph was concerned, there was no point in Mary and Joseph going any further. There was no point going down to Nazareth if the Lord Jesus was not in their company. There was no point going on another mile, going another footstep, except they have Christ with them. Isn't that what Moses prayed? Did Moses not say to the Lord, "Of thy presence go not with us. Carry us not up thence." There's no point going on, Moses was saying. And there was no point Mary and Joseph going any further. They didn't have the Lord with them. Dear child of God, what would our lives be like if we were to continue on without Christ? What would our churches be like if we did not have the Lord Jesus in our company? It's imperative, it's important that we see Him whom our soul loveth, that the Lord Jesus indeed is in our company, that He is one of us. That's where the problem arose in the first place. They left the temple without seeking Christ. They had performed all the duties of the temple, then left. But we read in verse 43, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. If Mary and Joseph had have tarried behind as well, they would have had their eyes on Christ, but they didn't. And so as we are in the house of God, let us tarry with Jesus. Let us tarry with Him. We must tarry with Him and not leave without Him. As we go from God's house tonight, we need to pray, Lord, go with us. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence near me and His arm around me thrown. I must see Jesus. In their seeking, we notice also their sorrow, verse 48. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. Suffered great sorrow of heart because she and Joseph had gone a day's journey and discovered the Lord wasn't there, and then had gone looking for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance and had found him not. And as they had sought for him, they had done so with great sorrow of heart. It's interesting that the word sorrow is a word that is found in Luke 16 and verse 24. It's a word that means tormented. Same word. It's a rich man and he's in hell and he says, I am tormented in this flame. And the word is translated here in Luke chapter 2. We have sought thee sorrowing. We have been tormented this day. We have suffered great torment of soul because we haven't seen thy face. And oh dear child of God, we rejoice, we praise God tonight that we'll never be in hell. But it would it not be like a hell on earth if we had to go through life without the Lord Jesus? Without ever seeing the face of our blessed Lord? What would my ministry be like if I never again saw the smile of my Savior? What would the future of this church be if we never again experienced the smile of heaven? If we never experienced the smile of Christ? Oh, let us never lose sight of Jesus. They're seeking and they're sorrowing. And then their steps, it was now the third day and they had not seen the Lord. Their steps had taken them back to the temple. Had to go back again. They had spent 3 days looking for Him. They had missed Him in only one day. But took 3 days to find Him. This would really tie in with what we've been studying in the mornings in Psalm 51. Just took a night, just a few hours for David to fall. But long after he had fallen, he was still thinking about that night. He was still thinking about his sin. Took him a long time to get back to God. And we can lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ in an instant. And it can take days to get back again to where we were before. And here their steps had taken them back to the temple. What had gone on in the temple? They had been to the temple that day for the Passover. They had gone back to the temple, the place of sacrifice. They had to get back to the place of sacrifice before they could see again the face of Jesus Christ. And dearly beloved, today if we have lost sight of the Savior, if we had lost sight of the Lord Jesus, we need to get back to the cross. That's where we need to get back to. It's at Calvary's cross where we must begin again, because it's there we shall see the face of the Lord Jesus. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Lord, I need to see thy face. Lead me to Calvary. Next we have the sight in verse 48. It says that when they saw him, they were amazed. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. When they did see the Lord Jesus, they hadn't seen him for 3 days. They hadn't looked into the face of the Lord Jesus for 3 days. And when they did, after 3 days, we're told, then they were amazed. Remember this. The Lord Jesus had been in their presence for 12 years. And yet after 12 years, they're still amazed when they see Christ. They are still amazed. And you know, beloved, every time we look to the Lord Jesus and see him afresh, Mary and Joseph had seen him afresh after 3 days, and when they saw him afresh, they were amazed. When we see Jesus Christ afresh, we'll be amazed every time we see him. Every time we see him. Because there's more and more for us in Jesus Christ than we have seen. There's more to be found in Jesus Christ than we have found up until this time. We can live the Christian life for 30, 40, and 50 years. And at the end of that time, when we see him afresh, we'll still be amazed. There's so much more in Christ that we have not yet seen. May we continue to look to Christ, and oh, may we never lose sight of Jesus. We might miss something if we lose sight of Christ. Then we notice their slowness. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not. Isn't that amazing? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Had they not been with him for 12 years? You would think that after 12 years they would have become intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus. You would have thought that they would have known all about him. But they didn't. The Savior said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not. Does this not teach us that however long we have been with Christ, we still know very little of him? Philip had been with Christ for over 3 years. And Philip said one day to the Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice. And the Lord gently rebuked Philip and said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? After all this time, you still don't know me. You know, those words could easily be spoken about us. We know so little of Christ. Even Paul felt that he knew so little of Christ when he prayed that I might know him. Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. We have then the sermon, first recorded words of the Lord Jesus. These words revealed to Mary things about her son that she didn't know before. Mary had spoken about an earthly father. Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. But the Lord Jesus spoke to her about his heavenly Father. What did the Lord Jesus do through his word? He lifted Mary from the earthly to the heavenly. He lifted her up and caused her to gaze upon heavenly things. And with those words, the Lord Jesus lifted Mary onto a higher plane. And believer, when we get our eyes on Jesus Christ, we hear his word, he'll lift our souls to a higher plane. We'll be taken up with earthly things, but I tell you, when we get our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, he'll lead us into the heavenly. More about Jesus would I know. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love. He died for me. Tell me more. More about Jesus. Yea, may we see more of him. And finally, we have the Master. Now we read in verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Here we have the Lord in the house. He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, even though she had wandered from him and lost contact with him and lost sight of him, even though she did not know him as she ought, yet he was willing to go down with them. Believer, even though we lament our lack of knowledge of Jesus Christ, we know so little of him, yet he's willing to walk with us. He's willing to go with us. And if our journey betimes is down, he'll still go with us. Oh, never lose sight of Jesus. Is the Lord in the house? And is the Lord in his humility? For we read the Lord was subject unto them. Whatever their desire or their wish was, he would do it. He was subject unto them. Perfect child. Notice that. He's the perfect child. So it is with us. We get our eyes on Jesus Christ. He has said, ask what ye will, and I will do it for you. And the Lord and her heart. Notice how the heart of Mary was touched when she got her eyes again on Christ. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The heart of Mary had been touched. Mary was able to place and, as it were, store more things in her heart. You notice what those words are teaching us? They teach us that Mary learned more about Christ than she'd ever known before. We get our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Look in his face every day. We'll continue to learn more about the Savior, and it will affect the heart. Every time we see Jesus, our hearts will be touched. We're familiar, I'm sure, of that with that hymn, O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He'll lead you gently with lowly hand. Never lose sight of Jesus. When you are tempted to go astray, never lose sight of Jesus. Press onward, upward, and the narrow way. Never lose sight of Jesus. Though dark the pathway may seem ahead, never lose sight of Jesus. Lo, I am with you. His word has said, never lose sight of Jesus. When death is knocking outside the door, never lose sight of Jesus. Till safe with him on the golden shore, never lose sight of Jesus. Never lose sight of Jesus. Never lose sight of Jesus. Day and night he will lead you right. Oh, never, never lose sight of Jesus. Praise his name. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious, loving Father, we bless thee so much for the Savior. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. And oh, we bless thee for the one who was altogether lovely. We thank thee for the one who was perfect. And Lord, we know that whenever Mary and Joseph as his earthly parents looked upon him, they were never disappointed by what they saw. And even, Lord, after those 3 days of missing him, when they eventually saw him and looked into his face again, they were amazed. Oh, Lord, we know we'll be amazed every time we look into the face of Christ. Dear loving Father, be with us now as we leave this house. And even, Lord, as thy word has reminded us, we can leave our place of service and suddenly become distracted and lose sight of Jesus. May that not be the case tonight. May we go from this house looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May thy good and gracious and protective hand be upon us as we leave this house of worship and return us again, Lord, this incoming week to seek thy face and to worship thee again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.